Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 24 tonight. And there's 22 verses in this chapter. And let's ask the Lord to anoint this chapter and open the ears of all those that are hearing the words from the Lord, and open the ears of in the hearts and the spirits of everyone so that they'll receive the Spirit, the word of the Lord, into their spirits to show them more, to know God. Therefore, to have eternal life is simple. It's just to know God and to know the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent into the world. That's all we need to know. And when we hear the word of God and then we don't do it, that shows that you've heard about God, but you don't want to know him. You don't receive it into your spirit. There's so many people that hear the word of God, even in this church, and they don't take it to heart. They said, be instant in season. When somebody tells you, especially the Lord is telling you to do something, and somebody spends money on materials to build something, and they give it to you, and you just leave it lay around for a week, a month, or longer, then you're not caring about what you do for the Lord. The Lord, when he tells me to get something, I get it. We had somebody over here, there's mold in this house, and I want to find out where it is, and there's these certain panels that you can buy that you glue, that you duct tape to different spots in the house, and it shows up. The mold, it shows where the mold is. Well, I had no idea that we needed duct tape in here. And so the people in the house just let it sit there for 5 days, at least 5 or 6 days, on the floor. And I said, what's that in the box there? They said, it's the panels that we need to put up. And I said, well, why aren't they up? And they said, well, we didn't have any duct tape. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? I can get duct tape in here in just short order. And so I got on the phone and I called Richard Andrasak. First of all, this angel said that she had put it on the list several days and that Terry White didn't get it. So I don't know whether that's true or not, because Angel sometimes doesn't tell the truth. And I keep warning her to tell the truth and to follow the instructions. So I got on the phone, and within 2 to 5 minutes, I had the duct tape in here because I have it all over the church. And she didn't tell me. And that's why when there's something that you need, these messages keep telling you that there is a ruler, a judge in this church, and a pastor, a prophet, and someone that you see that has gotten things done down through the years over and over again. And to think we just put in a street here in 2 days, and this we're missing this duct tape for 5 to 6 days. And that's just deplorable when I could have got it in here within 2 to 5 minutes. And I think it was, I broke a record on it tonight. I called Richard Andrasak and told him to get me some duct tape over here right away because I know we have it all over. And within 2 minutes, he called and he said, Dennis is right in front of where you're staying. And he wanted him to come to the door. And I said, yeah, I think it was between 3 and 5 minutes I had it in here. That's the difference. I could have gotten it from Cairo, Egypt in 5 days. I could have probably got it from Moscow in 5 days. And that just goes to show the slothful people that don't care. There's bad health. I've been told that it could have been this cough that I had for so long, which has gone away now, that it could have been caused from the mold. And we found a patch of the mold in the back, one of the areas in the house, so I wanted to detect it because mold, if you have it in your house, I want to know about it immediately. If you don't tell me things, then it could be disastrous. And so, you know, if you're not going to do that, then you're not learning anything from the scriptures. Do you understand?
Yes.
You cannot just have like, be like cows out in the meadow just chewing on grass and letting the breeze or the sun beat down on you, and just that's all you do is care about chewing your cud. All right? Well, anyway, I'm just saying this because everybody says we just love the messages because we're knowing what the Bible says and we're knowing God. But if you know God and you don't keep His commandments to be vigilant and diligent and to be instant in season when the stuff comes in, you're supposed to get the duct tape and stick it up on the walls or wherever you're supposed to put it. Amen?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be letting it stay around for days. And if I wouldn't have said something about it, what's that box doing there? I mean, there's no telling. I've had stuff lay around in here that people have let it lay around in here for over months, for months. And as you know, they've let people's requests lay around in here for like years. And so a lot of people, I don't care about the brothers and sisters. They don't care if somebody's coughing their lungs up in the house. It's just like, you know, as long as they're fed, as long as they're out in the meadow chewing their cud, that's all they care about. And people that resent me for saying this, I just want them out of the church because they're just absolutely no good. All right?
Yes.
People that hear the word of the Lord and don't do it are chaff. They're goats. All right, so I pray, Father, that these words, and I always ask you to anoint me with a commentary, Lord, that makes sense, that will teach people to be diligent, vigilant, and instant to do things in season or out of season, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, to do the things that you know that you're supposed to do and to be concerned about people's health and their welfare. I cared enough about it to order the stuff, and I cared enough to have duct tape around the area. And I just really, it's hard for me to believe that Terry White had that on the list for 3 days and didn't pick it up. I'll just definitely find out about that. And I want her, I'm sure she's going to hear this tape, and I want her to report to me about that, why she wouldn't get it when it was my request. And possibly Angel never even put it on the list that I was the one that wanted it and how important it was to get it. So, Lord, anoint your words, anoint, give me a commentary that's going to get into the hearts and the minds and the spirits, the souls of every individual that hears this tape, so that it gives them the power, the strength, your spirit to stand another day, not just in limbo, to just be treading water every day, but to do something meaningful that they learn from these scriptures. To just hear the word and not do it is meaningless. The Apostle James stated he'll show us his faith by his works, his deeds, by showing the Lord that he is vigilant, diligent, and instant in and out of season. Because just listening to this and just staying the same or getting worse, some people can't even pick up a tomato. Now here is the season for tomatoes and all kinds of fresh vegetables and everything. And I can't even get anybody to find out where the fresh produce is so that the brothers and sisters can have fresh, homegrown produce. And this is just getting worse and worse. The more you learn, some people, the less you do. You think that it's just a process of learning without doing. The reason that these things are being taught to you is so that you learn to be instant and be vigilant and diligent every single day to do what you know that you're supposed to be doing, to know that you have to be concerned about your brothers and sisters. And if you're not, you're not a brother or a sister. And I just love the way that Richard Ondesak responded to that, and Dennis. They related here within 5 minutes. And it was going to go on for days, I'm sure, with Angel. Okay, and we also have another problem over here, Lydia, with this chapter that we're doing tonight has to do with more laws. But she put on there, after hearing my message and me saying this has to do, this part of the chapter has to do with more laws, she put more wars. And so, of course, if we put that on this tape, then people would be waiting to hear about the wars, and there's nothing about the wars there. It's just about some more laws, which are very important also. But then again, some people don't take much interest in making sure the message gets typed up correctly. Because getting the right message to all the folks out there, and there's millions of people that are hearing these messages, that doesn't seem to mean anything. It would make people careful. And it's like with Steve Johnson, there are like bills, that $30,000 worth of bills today that we found that were not paid. And there's bouncers all over the place when we had plenty of money in the bank. And so we, the new staff over here, Sally and others, found the mistakes. And so we paid, we're going to pay those all off. We paid a lot of them off yesterday and today. And now we've got to pay the rest of them off on Monday morning. And we'll be straight. One of them was so desperately gone that we had to Western Union money to the insurance company so that we didn't lose our insurance policies. I mean, I'm just saying that you people, and if Steve Johnson would have told me that these things were behind, well, then I would have immediately done something about it. But not even one word that he was one day behind on the books, let alone 9 months, and that there were bouncers out there when there was plenty of money in the bank. I don't, it doesn't equate. I don't understand it. And for anybody to think they're righteous and that they can scream at authority and argue with authority, some of these are just like, is to me, the most trashy people in the world would argue with authority. People that they see ruling well in the word and diligently in every other respect. And how they would not respond instantly. Now, most of the people in the church do nowadays. They do respond quickly, but I'm just mentioning a few of them here. I take into consideration some people are not the smartest people in the world. But the Lord says if people keep their minds stayed upon the Lord, even a simpleton, and if they don't argue back, if they don't speak unadvisedly, they'll be thought of as wise. Amen?
Amen.
There's something wrong with people that use their own brains instead of the Lord. Like I sent one of them here, to Lydia, with our little girl to Daytona Beach, Florida. And she wound up in Dayton, Ohio. Well, both those names sound like the same thing. I mean, Daytona and Dayton. We were at the airport waiting for our little girl to come. She was bringing her. She says, well, I'm right over by the luggage. I says, what town are you in? She says, Dayton, Ohio. I said, well, we told you to bring the little girl here to Daytona Beach. That's people that don't listen well. Okay, Father, bless, anoint, and some people that don't feel that these things that I'm saying are important, that's the reason why the world is so filled with sin today and lackadaisicalness in the churches. They just don't believe that there's a law anymore, and they don't care if they break the law. And that's why they just don't love the Lord. They half hear, they half listen, and they don't do what some people just don't do and will never do what they're told. And the people that are, they say, well, we have a pastor that is far nicer than you. They just overlook things like that. Well, I'm just telling people, trying to train pastors how to pastor your church. I'm not beheading these people for what they did. Nor am I casting them out of the church. This Daytona incident happened around 15 years ago, right?
Right.
And she's still here making mistakes on the tracks and stuff, so we have to have a lot of people check her, that's all. Okay?
Yes.
So don't say I haven't got patience, all right?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that I condone these things. I And the Lord says if people don't receive what you say, then you have to take it to the congregation to let the rest of the congregation know what these kind of people are, because she doesn't have any conscience about whatsoever. You can see it in their faces. They just don't have a conscience for it. And so I have to take it to the church so that the church doesn't trust them to do things for them either. And if they know, if they see something going wrong, and because they've told these certain people to do things, don't do that. Report to me, all right? Because there's a difference between 5 to 7 days in a month and in several years in 2 to 5 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that better, to be that diligent and vigilant? And some people think that that's wrong when the Lord commands it. Well, then you're a very bad person. Okay, that's all I can tell you. So, Lord, anoint this whole message. Open the ears of the people. Let them hear it in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people will never tell you what you're doing wrong in your life, and they'll just let you go to hell. But reproving and rebuking people, the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. And the Lord commands me to reprove and rebuke people, and that's why I do it. Before I was saved, I could have cared less what you did. If you wanted to commit suicide, I wouldn't care. And if you wanted to take drugs or narcotics or booze, I wouldn't have cared. But now I do care, because I care for my soul. If I don't care any more than some of these people don't care about messages, I would wind up in hell. And I want you to be so conscious of what you're doing so that you don't wind up in hell. And if you continue doing what you do after you're told the wrong things you do, and you consistently do it and pay no attention or little heed to anything you're taught, so that you just want to learn and ever learning but never ever able coming to the knowledge of the truth, which means you have to do what you learn, okay? It's like teaching somebody how to swim out here, and then after they say, okay, we learned the whole pattern, then you jump in the water and you don't move your arms and legs, and then you drown. That's what people are doing when you hear the word of God and you don't do what it says. All right? Or that you go to aeronautics school. You learn how all the paperwork and the bookwork on how to fly an airplane. And then they say, okay, take off, and you go up. And all of a sudden, you don't remember what you learned and you don't fly the airplane right. So what's going to happen? And you're up there by yourself. Okay, so you're on your own before the judgment bar of the Lord. So let's start getting serious about the gospel, all right? Yes. Okay, so let's go. This is Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, and it happens to be about laws, not wars, okay? Okay, Lydia? Okay, go ahead.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house.
Right. But today, you know, you're not to marry anybody, if you're a Christian, anybody that is not a Christian. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if you do, you're just stuck with that woman. And if she was a prostitute and she got saved, the Lord washed away all those sins, she's just as clean and pure as any virgin. And if you find out, if she tells you that she did these things, you should have found out before you were married. And then you start saying, I found uncleanness in you. That doesn't hold any water there, because she's as clear as a virgin, because she's a new creature. And you can't use these Old Testament scriptures, because the Messiah has come into the world and has died for us and went to hell for us, shed his blood for us, arose from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and ascended into heaven. And she's forgiven. But if she goes and does anything like that again, then that's unclean, and you may divorce her for that. But the Lord says that he hates divorce in the New Testament. And he said that Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to be divorced. in the Old Testament. However, if you found that your wife that you just got married to was not a virgin, in those days they would stone her to death, and so you wouldn't have to worry about getting a divorce. Amen?
Amen.
The stones would divorce you, and you would be able to marry somebody that was a godly person. And that's the way it has to be now. You're not even to be in business with somebody that is not a Christian. And I mean, not somebody that professes to be a Christian, a real Christian that hears the Word of God and does to the detail, down to the very letter of what it says to do. Okay? Now, that isn't the letter of the Word. It is, we have to learn everything, but we also have to do it. And doing the Word of God is not letter, that's spiritual, all right? That's walking in the Spirit, okay? All right, then what else?
And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife.
Okay, but that is not so in this in the New Testament. Okay, once you're married, that's it for a female. Unless her husband dies. Or unless the husband falls away and just goes on his own someplace and has no desire to be a Christian anymore or to take care of his family, well, then the wife can remarry only in Christ, in a Christian. The same thing applies if a woman takes off, she doesn't want to serve the Lord anymore, the husband can remarry. There's no sin there at all because it's in the Bible. You can only have to marry, though, somebody in the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 3, and if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, verse 4, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord.
Yeah, because somebody else has sown seed in her. The woman is the land, and somebody else has sown seed in her. The land is defiled. You can't take that woman back. Okay, and it's, especially, you know, nowadays, Christians, if she leaves and then she goes out and commits adultery by marrying somebody while you're still alive, and then the Lord convicts her again and she comes back, you can't have her anymore. You say, well, okay, is it their forgiveness? No, not for that. Okay? As you did, she's defiled. Okay? There's things that are sins unto death, and there are sins that are not unto death. Then there are sins of people that did things that they weren't aware of. They were sins that that were not in their knowledge. They didn't know the Bible well enough. And adultery is one thing that the Lord himself, Jesus, said, yeah, you can get a divorce for that. All right, then what else?
And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Verse 5, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. Neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken.
That's to let you know that God can win any battle with you or without you. Okay, and so he's just saying, he sends all the people home that have a wife or people that are afraid, just like he did with Gideon. He said, there's too many people, you know, there's 20,000, 40,000 men to go off against these people. The Lord says, I'm going to single them down so that you people of Israel get puffed up as though you won the battle rather than me. And I'm the one that goes before you, and I'm the one that causes the battle to be yours. And so he finally wound up, to make a long story short, we'll get into it later, come out with this 300 men. Okay? 300 men, and those were the ones that, they says, all the ones that get down on their hands and knees and drink out of the river with their lips on the water, they will all go home. And the ones that take the water in their hands and lap it out of their hands like a dog, those are the ones that are going. They go to war. And maybe it's because that They believed in drinking water standing up because they're looking around but for the enemy. The other ones were just, they had their faces in the water, and they could have cared less if the enemy was getting. So there's the 300 people, and they were the real warriors that looked over their shoulders and didn't trust anybody. And that's all God needed was 300 good warriors, and the battle was won by Gideon and those 300 men. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you get married, you can stay home with your wife for a year. You know, you don't have to go out to war or to even leave the house for 2 or 3 months to go out on tracking cruise if you're newly wed, if you don't want to. Some people are glad to get out of the house, you know, and away from the little lady for a while. The Lord says not to be bitter against your wives. The Lord knows about wives and that sometimes it's so you can get a little bitter against them. Amen? Okay, so, but anyway, that's what this means. The Lord says, stay home. Go home. And if you're a little bit afraid, stay home because I don't want you to. We just had that in one of the other chapters. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 6. No man shall take the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge.
Right, they have to grind the wheat and stuff. So read the translation of the now.
Okay, verse 1 through 6. Suppose a man marries a woman, but later discovers something about her that is shameful. So he writes her a letter of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her away.
Yeah, nowadays, you know, if she had AIDS or something. All right? Mm-hmm. Or Ebola. Or trench mouth. Or some other, you know, jungle rot. God only knows what else is around today, you know? So go ahead.
Verse 2. If she then leaves and marries another man, verse 3, and the second husband also divorces her or dies, verse 4.
Yeah, because he doesn't like jungle rot either. Right, then what?
The former husband may not marry her again, for she has been defiled. That would be detestable to the Lord. You must not bring guilt upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession.
Yeah, now the land, in other words, the woman that God has given to you as a special possession, you can't have somebody sow seed in her, and then you go ahead and sow seed in her again. It's all over. Once she commits adultery, that's it. Now you got these bleeding heart, satanic ministers that say you should forgive her. But that's contrary to what God says. And so you're either going to have to listen to God or these satanic bleeding hearts, all right? God is he's not a homosexual. He's not double-minded. He doesn't change his law. Get rid of it. That's it. And go on. There's other females in the world, that, especially those that will serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And that don't have jungle rot. All right, what else?
Verse 5. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or given any other special responsibility. He must be free to be at home for 1 year, bringing happiness to the wife he has married. Verse 6. It is wrong to take a pair of millstones, or even just the upper millstone, as a pledge, for the owner uses it to make a living.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you.
Yeah, there's people today that are stealing kids, and they take them off to foreign countries and sell them off to, like, the girls to be prostitutes, the boys and the girls to be in these pornography movies. They get them on drugs, and then they show them all sorts of pornography movies, and then they turn them loose and make movies with them. And a lot of them do it to kidnap people and then send ransom notes to the mother and father if they think they have some money to pay $1 million or whatever they think that they can get out of the person. And nowadays, I've heard many prisoners say, they have a new law. You go down three times. In other words, you get convicted three times and you're in there for life. Well, they said, we'll not leave any witnesses behind. If we rape a little child or a woman, we'll kill them because that way there's no witness against us. And they all said, yeah, they've all resolved to do that. And we have a big prison ministry. And I got sent to prison for the gospel's sake, just as Paul, just as Jesus, and just as Peter and all the different apostles and prophets. And I'm proud to have been in this exclusive group of people. Not many people, not many Christians does the Lord trust to go through that sort of a trial or a persecution. But I went through it, and I've heard them talking, hundreds and hundreds of different people in prison saying, I'm not going down. I've been down twice already, and if I get out and I commit a crime, I'm not going back to prison. I'll shoot every person that sees me do the crime. If I rape somebody, I'm a killer. Okay, so I just say this for people to say these things in your congregation, because most people think that the world is just wonderful and nobody's going to do that. They don't think kidnap is that bad or just rape is that bad. As a matter of fact, I've heard a lot of females say that they wouldn't mind being raped because then they feel that they're not responsible for having sex and they can have an extramarital sex relationships by being raped. But now they're going to kill you, they say, all right? So you, if they do that, I don't want you to enjoy yourself while you're doing it, because it won't be long before they slit your throat or put a bullet through your head. All right, then what?
Verse 8, take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Verse 9, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. Verse 10, when thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Verse 11, thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee.
Right, see, these are laws, not wars, right?
Right.
Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 12, and if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. Verse 13, in any case thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you think that you can take something from somebody, and you take their bed away and your furniture and everything, and all of a sudden that person will cry out to the Lord and God will start cursing you. It's better to let them have their things and just take it as, say, well, they're poor and I'm giving it to the poor in your name, Jesus. And God will send in abundance to you 100 times more than whatever you're letting them have. And if you don't do that, well, then you're not trusting the Lord's word, because his word says that he will do that. Another thing, too, a lot of times when you do that to people, they're going to be saved, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a viable worker in the house of the Lord and help out. And a lot of them, you never know. God can give them, bless them with all sorts of things that they don't have now. God has taken people that were sheepherders and made them kings. And then wouldn't you be glad if you helped out somebody that God, they were on a dung heap one day and then they were made a king the next. And then they says, you did me good when I was poor and on a dunghill, and now I'm going to make you my chancellor. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So it always pays to do what the Lord said. And even if you don't, something like that doesn't happen, you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven by doing it. So there's a reward no matter which way you go with it. All right? Okay, then what?
Translation verse 7 through 13. If anyone kidnaps a fellow Israelite and treats him as a slave or sells him, the kidnapper must die. You must cleanse the evil from among you.
Yeah, now they call that the little Lindbergh law. That isn't the little Lindbergh law. That's this law here. There's more people because they know there's no law anymore, except for, you know, stuff that they make up on Christians, and then they'll prosecute them to the limit of the law, even though they're innocent, totally innocent as I was, and as many other people are that I met while I was there in prison for 4 years. And so, read that statement again.
If anyone kidnaps a fellow Israelite and treats him as a slave or sells him, the kidnapper must die.
Right, and so, but they don't put people to death anymore when they do these crimes that are gross crimes, that are abominated, double sinful crimes in the eyes of God. They're doubly sinful, like adultery, fornication, kidnap, man-stealers. These are people that will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And murderers, these little helpless children that can't defend themselves. These are sins unto death. And if you've done them and you've not been saved yet, get saved. And get those sins erased off of your soul before it's too late. Because God will forgive you no matter how much evil you've done in the past. But he tells you, go and don't do it anymore. Go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? Or less, the worst thing will happen to you. All right, go ahead.
Verse 8. Watch all contagious skin diseases carefully and follow the instructions of the Levitical priests. Obey the commands I have given them. Verse 9, remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam as you were coming from Egypt.
Why? Because if you come against God's leaders, God can whip leprosy on you, cancer, any kind of disease he wants, leukemia, or he can let you fall into the earth in an earthquake or wipe you out in a tornado or a hurricane or something. And you never know when one of those things are going to hit anymore. Well, we got plenty of advancement, you know, with the satellites and all this. He can get you if you run into the house, you know, and you're in another state. All he has to do is pull your breath out of your body. You can't run from God. Then what?
Verse 10. If you lend anything to your neighbor, do not enter your neighbor's house to claim the security. Verse 11. Stand outside, and the owner will bring it out to you. Verse 12. If your neighbor is poor and has only a cloak to give as security, do not keep the cloak overnight. Verse 13, return the cloak to its owner by sunset, so your neighbor can sleep in it and bless you, and the Lord your God will count it as a righteous act. King James Version, verse 14. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren, or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates.
Well, if he's a real servant, he's serving you, he's working for you, he's doing you good. And so don't oppress somebody that's doing you good. Amen?
Amen.
Take care of them, feed them the same way you feed yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So let them sleep on beds, the same bed you sleep, what kind of bed you sleep on yourself. Let them have something. You work out in the same gymnasium that you work out in. Amen?
Amen.
And swim in the same swimming pool you live in if you have one. And whatever. Treat them as though they were the Lord. Amen? Don't oppress them. Help them. Then what?
Verse 15. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee.
Right, and then if a pastor is doing these kind of things for you and helping you out in every way, you shouldn't oppress them either, because it's going to be doubly sinful for you. You're supposed to run interference for them. If you see that there's like something in it, you're supposed to do everything you can to make everything perfect for them, because they're helping so many other thousands and millions of people. Amen?
Amen.
So you're supposed to help out every way that you can. If you see that there's something in the house that's causing sickness or something, you're supposed to, and he orders something from, they could detect where this stuff is,
then you're supposed to do everything in your power to get it in there in 5 minutes like I did. Amen?
Amen.
At least help. Okay, you're making the pastor do everything. Okay, what else?
Verse 16. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
Well, you know, if anyone says that there's sickness, disease, infirmities, I immediately pray for them, but I don't just say, be warmed and filled and be healed and all this sort of thing. I can feel the Lord, and when they say, I'm healed, I'm healed. But there may be something that the Lord wants them to do, and if there's something in the house, their house that they need right away, instantly they get it from me. I don't wait for 5 days. I make sure, and if there's people that come to this church and want a box of food, that they don't even live in the church or they're not even Christians, and they say they're hungry and they want some food, I have them go down to the grocery store and pick up the things for them, and they come to the church and pick it up. If they need clothes, I mean, we do that for people that are getting out of prison. A lot of people are in prison for things that they didn't do, and they said their families, there's like, they got like 3, 4, 5 kids and a wife, and she doesn't know what to do, and they don't want her to be a whore, and they don't even have to explain. They just say, can you send them something for Christmas? And we really load them up, don't we?
Yes.
We give them shoes and clothes, and we get all the sizes of the people, and we pack the thing out. We send gospel literature and Bibles and everything, and they get saved. And then we send letters back to them and saying, we're going to keep them going. You know, if they're in Mexico, no matter where they're at, or Central South America, India, any of the Arabic countries or Africa, if we know that there's a need, we do it. And so how much more should people take care of their own? I mean, you know, how much more should a wife help the husband? And how much should the husband take care of the wife? You're worse than an infidel if you don't do what the Lord tells you to do. If you don't back up your husband, and if you don't back up the prophet and the pastor, Bible even has examples. When this prophet came into town, she only had enough for a little cake to make. The prophet, the man of God, says, give that little cake to me. Well, she says, I was just going to make one and give it to my little boy, and I were going to eat it and die. But nevertheless, you're a man of God, so she says, I'll give it to you. So she did. And she had the rest, for the rest of her life, she had she could bake a million cakes if she wanted to, because the Lord filled the barrels with the meal and the oil. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord has even brought the little boy back to life, didn't he?
Yes.
When he died?
Yes.
Because the prophet went and laid hands on him and his whole body on him and prayed to the Lord, and the boy came to life again. So there's so many blessings to backing up the men of God. I'm not talking about the phonies that you see on television or anything. A lot of them are phonies on TV, but or anywhere else. I mean, we have churches where they're just as phony as can be. But when you know they're of the Lord, help them, back them up, okay? And we're not looking for anybody's money. If you're unsaved, you know, we just want to get your soul saved. All right, then what else?
Verse 17, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge.
Right, if it's a person that's unsaved, well, you really got to make sure that you judge them correctly, not like the judicial system here in the United States, because by judging them correctly, and he's talking to the people of the Lord here, that could save their soul. They says, my God, there's justice in these people here. We didn't do this crime, and because we were in other nations, and here we would we go to court and we didn't do it, and they'd send us to prison, just like they did me in the United States here, and that they do a lot of other people. But if you go into the courtroom of a godly person and you see that they treat you right, I mean, it's, what's fair is fair. Even one of the citizens that is well known, they come against you and you rule against that citizen that's been there for 50 years or more, then that's righteous judgment. if they are telling lies about somebody, they should be put in prison for the length of time that they're trying to get the person, the innocent person, into prison with. Amen?
Amen.
Or if the law of the Lord is, if somebody is trying to get you murdered, to kill, to destroy you, to put you to death for murder that you didn't commit, then they themselves that are lying about you are to be put to death and you're to be set free. That's real justice. Okay, then what else?
Verse 18. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Translation, verse 14 through 18. Never take advantage of poor laborers, whether fellow Israelites or foreigners living in your towns. Verse 15. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they might cry out to the Lord against you, and it will be counted against you as sin. Verse 16. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor the children for the sins of their parents. Those worthy of death must be executed for their own crimes. Verse 17. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you, and to orphans, and you must never accept a widow's garment in pledge of her debt. Verse 18. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I have given you this command. King James Version, verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands.
Right, don't you want to be blessed? And if you see hungry people, people that don't have, give them something. You're going to get paid 100 times more from the Lord for it. You think you're really, and then when you write a check so that you can get a write-off from the government, instead of just giving them the cash, or buying something for them with money, then all you're doing is get a write-off from the government. But if you buy it for them and don't try to get a write-off for it, then you're going to get 100 times whatever you gave them from the Lord. So the Lord pays off 100 times more than the government does. Amen?
Amen.
And until you have matured to that kind of faith, to where you believe that and do it, you're just going to be not as wealthy or not as well-to-do, or you're not going to be blessed, because God does really pay off. Then what else?
Verse 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Verse 21. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Verse 22. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing.
Yeah, there are people that are walking around on earth, and they just, there was no franchises back then, and a lot of them don't have money. So you leave something in your field and let them go in and eat. So you want to be blessed, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then let them. Then what else?
Translation, verse 19 through 22. When you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. Verse 20. When you beat your olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave some of the olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Verse 21. This also applies to the grapes in your vineyards. Do not glean the vines after they are picked, but leave any remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Verse 22. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. That is why I am giving you this command.
Right. It is wonderful the way the Lord cares for the poor and needy, and for us too, because those that he gives something to, he entrusts it to us because he trusts that we're going to take care of the poor and the needy. because he knows we trust him that he's going to just pour it right back. Your grape vineyard, your produce, everything will be more next year, and you'll have more than enough to feed yourself, your family, your friends, everybody, and to make a good profit out of it. And God will bless everything you do. Okay, now that was the last verse in chapter 24 of Deuteronomy. Now we've got some commentary.
24 verse 1 through 4. A lot of people might look at this regulation as proof that God supports divorce. On the contrary, God hates divorce. Malachi 2:16. Quote, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously." Unquote.
What is a wife going to do if you put her out of the house? She may have done something worthy of being put in ward, but what is she going to do if you put her out these days? Unless she does, she just doesn't want to serve the Lord, then you're not to be concerned. The Bible tells you in the 11th chapter of Revelation to put people out of the church if they don't line up with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Regulations like this were given to put controls on this unsatisfactory solution for disunity in marriage and the hardness of their hearts. Some of us may be recovering from a divorce. We can rest assured that God's grace or His power is sufficient for our needs. We also need to reconcile if we have a bad relationship with the spouse that we have now, so that we do not have to go through a divorce, which God hates. We need to ask and grant forgiveness whenever it's necessary, so that we don't have to go through a divorce process. 24 verse 6. Every Israelite owned a small milling machine to prepare flour for daily bread. To take this as collateral on a loan was forbidden, since the millstone would be confiscated if the loan was not repaid, and the person left without his means of livelihood. 24 verse 7. Kidnapping here means seizing a fellow Israelite and mistreating or selling him into slavery. 24 verse 10 through 13. This legislation protects the poor who were sometimes forced to request loans. 24 verse 16. Sin here refers to crimes punishable by capital punishment. It is not to be confused with the spiritual consequences of sins addressed in chapter 5, verse 9. Quote, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Unquote. 24, verse 19 through 22. This provision for feeding the underprivileged is beautifully simplified in the book of Ruth.
All right, that was it for chapter 24, verse 22, the last one. And we pray that God has, I know He's ministered His word to you and His spirit to you, and has given you enough spirit of His from Him to stand another day in Him. One day at a time. So God bless you for doing it. He will. And praise the Lord. Amen.